dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, all you SVC fans, and welcome back to episode number 206 of Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. I will introduce the others just momentarily here. We're getting back into more of the 2018 sports within the SVC, and we're brought to you by, as always, as we always are, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. And that is located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, Ohio, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can find your Cardo's Pizza, place for all your parties and events. Some sports going on now, soccer signups I saw just going on right as we speak. Give them a call at 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. And look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. As I mentioned, I want to introduce these two young men to my right and my left. The first, we're going to switch things up tonight and bring in Shane Combs of SBCSportsZone.com. How are we, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. Nice to be back. Excited to be back in the gym more often. Over the break, had a chance to see some basketball, but getting back on the normal schedule now, and exciting time as we come down the stretch of basketball here, and get some other things and sports going as well. So should be an exciting 2018.
And last but certainly not least, the doctor, the good doctor, Mr. D.R. Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. How are we, Derek?
Good. I'm just happy to, like as Shane kind of said, get back into the swing of things and really kind of get back to work each day. So,
well, you guys have probably already been on the prowl on the circuit, haven't you? We had a pretty full week of SVC action, and that's leading to our first topic here we want to talk about, that being one of streaks. When I first saw this tonight, I said, stakes, what's that all about? But I read it again. It's streaks. And we're going to talk about the streak first. Of course, everybody knows about the Uniota boys now standing at 61, had a big scare Friday night, but came back and won that game, I think, against PV, wasn't it? And then the girls, Southeastern right now at 34, and, of course, their big test with Uniota coming up on Tuesday night. Shane, we'll let you lead off here. What's your thoughts on those streaks?
The streaks are fascinating to look at, Derek. They really are. Like when you look at the website page, the SBC win streaks, and I appreciate each one of them. You know, West Falls football's 29, and then obviously the volleyball, the insane 98 of Adina, and we've talked in the past shows. Uniota now at 61, and Derek, I know you and I both were sharing some tweets and some texts and some different things over the last week or so. We were even at a couple games together, and I think we agree that what makes the streak so phenomenal is the fact that you have to win so many different types of games. You have to come from behind. You have to win on a night you don't shoot it well. You have to win on a night where the other team shoots it incredibly well. You have to win when a kid's sick. You have to win when a kid's hurt. You have to win when you get some bad calls. You have to win on the road, at home, and during all those adversities. So it's fascinating to me to see these teams go through it. But it's also fun to watch how the other teams gear up and how they don't back down from it. You know, they accept the challenge and they go and they really go after it. So, these teams are getting everybody's best shot. But, it's something to really watch. And to Uniota's credit, they survived that Friday night and they found a way. You give PV a lot of credit. You also give Uniota credit because right after they do that, they come back the next night and have to play again. Scored 35 points in the second quarter Saturday night and break that thing open. So had a chance to see Southeastern in person the other night. Gosh, they're just so old. They're so big, so strong. You know what I mean by old is just experience. I mean, you're looking at kids out there that, what, Derek, are 90, 100 games, if not more, into their varsity career. And that physicality really shows up. I watched a few minutes the other night from floor level because I really wanted to just kind of get a sense of their physicality. And, you know, they obviously – you know, really complete basketball team. So just a lot of fun to watch, and I'm sure there's going to be some upcoming ones that are just as exciting when you consider Uniota Southeastern Girls. I know Uniota Zane Trace Boys coming up and so forth. So exciting time.
Derek, your thoughts on the Streaks?
You know, Shane, I think the thing that maybe fascinates me the most about the Streaks is when we talk about them, we're still talking about something that even includes players like a Nick Overly or a Kyle Strange for Uniota. You know,
yeah,
the players
yeah.
that Cole Cottrell, Eric Hosley, Isaac Wheeler, you know, all these guys come into mind. They're still a part of something, and they're 2-3 years out of high school. I think that fascinates me the most about the Streak. And as you said, you know, when you're the defending conference champions, like both Uniota and Southeastern's girls are, you're going to get the best shot from each team each night. And I think I sent out a tweet this week that, you know, I think a lot of people underestimate how hard it is to win, not alone 60 games, but 10 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you have, there's so many things to play, there's so many situations that can happen. I mean, you know, to catches Paint Valley on a hot night. Somebody had told me they were 7 of 8 in the first quarter. They shot like 75% from the field in the first half. Dylan Swingle decided to, you know, be Dylan Swingle with 31 points and 20 rebounds that night. So you're going to catch that every single night. And let's face it, Shane, when you're playing Uniota's boys or Southeastern's girls, that opponent, they're going to get up to play you every night. I mean, they're going to be pumped in that locker room, and they're going to say, hey, we're going to go out here and win a game. And you're going to get that – you're going to have to withstand that storm and win another game. So, you know, Uniota is best to ever do it on the boys' side, and Southeastern is really approaching that mark to be the best to ever do that on the girls' side.
Well, we will watch as action continues to unfold. Of course, Tuesday night, we already mentioned it, the big test with Southeastern with Uniota. And we'll be – I don't know whether you guys are going to get to go to that game, but that will be a good game if out there, I'm sure. And, just, you know, Uniota is going to be up for Southeastern, and Southeastern is going to be up for Uniota on mm-hmm. that one. Well, Shane, we want to next tackle a topic being an email that you got regarding coaching basketball. And I'm going to let you kind of set this up because you have been the one to receive this email.
Well, it was a real long email. Basically, the gist of it, guys, was talking about coaching basketball over the break and how it's kind of unique to any other sport and wanting to know some of the challenges, because they even went on to say things about how, you know, as parents, they try to be understanding, but at the same time, sometimes scheduling is frustrating. You're trying to spend holidays with your family, and you might be traveling, and a lot of people do Christmas at 2 or 3 different times, or you might have Christmas dinners, or you might have different things, and, you know, the New Year's, some of the same challenges. And, you know, so they asked from a coaching standpoint, you know, just to talk about that a little bit on the show. And I guess, guys, for me, it's kind of like any other, unlike any other sport. I'm not saying that every sport doesn't have its challenges. You know, we talked on a show in the fall, Bruce, about how in the fall you have the late summer mm-hmm. with the fair. Remember how we talked about the fair a lot, the Ross County Fair, and, you know, the back to school. But, you know, if you think about it, after that, football is very structured, you know. Game Friday night. You know, I know football coaches freak out sometimes if they're going to play a Thursday or a Saturday because it breaks their routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's but for the most part, that's a pretty structured thing. Hey, we're going to practice after school. We're going to practice this time. We're going to practice this way on Monday and Thursday. We're going to practice this way on Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, then you go to the spring. The spring takes a life of its own because your schedule's all over the place. You know, is it going to rain? Are you going to practice inside? Are you practicing outside? Are you playing tonight? If not, when are you rescheduling? You line up your pitching for 3 straight days, and then the weather just wipes it all out, and you start over again. You know, so baseball has some challenges. But for me, the email talks about the winter sport, and the holiday break is unlike anything else that any other sport has to go through. You basically play – most of your teams play about 25 to no more than, you know, 40% of your schedule. you take this 2 weeks where maybe you continue to play, maybe you don't, but you certainly have to work in some days off. You have kids out of school. They're out of routine. They're probably staying up to 2 or 3, sleeping to 10 or 11. You're practicing at random times. Then the weather comes into play. Are the roads bad? Is it too cold? Are we going to do this? So there's a lot of challenges. And I think it's really tough to know what to do. Some coaches like to have it off because they like the practice time. They like to refocus and really work on some things without having game prep. Other coaches want to continue to play. They want to try to keep it on schedule. For me, it always depended on what type of team do I have. Do I have an experienced team? Do I have a team that went into a long football playoff run? When does Christmas fall? What day of the week does it fall on? You know, how many days off are we going to have? But, man, these teams that take off, Derek, these 10, 11, 12, 13 days, that can be hard to come back from. It really can. So, it kind of gets the kids out of system as we get back into it. I know we're going through some weather and some temperatures right now that still has schools all over the place. But yeah, the one thing you remind yourself of as a coach is everyone is dealing with it. So it's the same. It's the same for everyone to a certain extent in terms of what you have to handle. But I do enjoy emails like this because it gets me thinking about coaching and makes you really stop and think about your craft and so forth. And I think basketball coaches do have a unique thing to handle there when it comes to the holiday break.
It sure is different, isn't it? I know talking with your brother, Matt, he said many times that he'd much rather have, you know, these days when the kids are in school, you know where they are typically, you know what they're doing, it's routine, and then something like, you know, snow days and vacations and all that kind of come in and just wreak havoc with everything you've got going on. It takes you out of the program, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to move along then to our Learn the Website segment brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Well, guys, I want to give a mention to Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. That's the number you need to call. I know right now we're in some crazy weather, but again, it's not going to be long. I was just looking today. We're about 6 or 7 weeks out. The baseball practice starts, and you know golf will be right around the corner. So make sure you give them a call. Get your package set up there in terms of your membership and in terms of some of your rounds that you can get up there to Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, 740-986-4653. And guys, with the Learn the Website this week, I have to continue to let people know. There's two or three people through some emails. I even had someone ask me at a game the other night. I had an SVC kind of legend or old timer even mentioned to me about the 1,000 point page having kids on there that did not score all of their 1,000 in the league. And, you know, all I can say to that is we've continued to do it that way. It would take a lot of organization and research with some schools to change that up. But that's kind of the way we started it 10 years ago. So to change it now without changing at all would be very difficult to do. The other thing I want to let people know is we're introducing our stats. Our girls' stats are up and running. We're recording this on Sunday, so by the time many of you are listening to the show, our boys' stats should be up as well. Make sure you're checking out our wrestling page. You see that sports icon there on the front. And then our Athlete of the Week was updated here a couple days ago, and we'll have another update coming up later in the week. So a lot to look at there on the website. Don't hesitate to text or call or email or whatever you need to do if you have a question. But, you know, Derek, I also wanted to take an opportunity. Each week we do this. I know there's some great pieces. I enjoyed, even though it wasn't an SVC, I enjoyed reading about the Moffmer brothers, some different things you're doing in the Gazette. And I just want to give you an opportunity, as always, anything really special or unique outside of your normal coverage maybe coming up in the Gazette that we can look forward to?
We've got a couple of things coming up this week. We're installing kind of like the shoot around. If you've read the shoot around, kind of mirrors the Sunday morning quarterback back in football season. Obviously, we'll have that. We have that weekly. We're installing a weekly glance. It kind of gives you a look at what's ahead this week. I thought this week would be a great one with, as we said, Uniota going to Southeastern and girls and Zane Trace and Union Yoden Boys. We're also introducing a Where Are They Now segment. We're just kind of talking about past greats, you know, what they're doing with their lives, where they're living, stuff like that. And really the centerpiece of this week's kind of content, if you would, we're going to be talking, I'll be going out to Zane Trace's boys basketball practice on Wednesday. We're going to be writing a feature on Tristan Miller, who kind of is this year's who they've dedicated their season to. The Pioneers have been talking to his family. He's got an awesome family. Even Michael Miller, Shane, down there at the Eastern, great basketball player, great kid. Of course, Trey plays for Zane Trace's JV. Whenever you go to Zane Trace, you see play for 21, and you see Tristan's name still everywhere. You know, we're excited to kind of get his message out there, kind of talk to the family, and just kind of talk about you know, how Zane Trace is dedicating their season to their teammates. So it should be a good week.
Good stuff. Really look forward to that. Thank you.
Alrighty, with that in the rearview mirror, we're going to take a look at the inbox, another email that we've got this week. And of course, that look at the inbox brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment, located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville. Telephone number is 740-477-9828. And they are your source for all of our local SVC school apparel. And if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas, there's where you need to go, up there to Circleville, or give them a call. They can set you up with your SVC school apparel. They also have fitness gear, sports accessories, and sports equipment of all types. Give them a call and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, this email came in late Saturday night to our inbox, and Shane fished it out here and said we need to include this, so I'm going to read it now. It starts off with all caps, wow, wow, wow. What a weekend of basketball. Let's talk upsets. We nearly had six of them this weekend. This person watched two of them, by the way, but none of them happened. I know you guys have talked about basketball being the biggest upset sport in the past. What do you think are the biggest factors to pulling an upset? And are reasons you think, any reasons rather, you think so many teams failed to finish on Friday and Saturday night? Thanks for all you do for our league. My family and I love the show and the website. Shane, your thoughts?
Derek, I was fascinated by this email because I actually, before opening the email, had just finished my website work that night, which I'm sure you were going through a lot of the same notes. And I know a lot of times you and I will share notes and compare notes. And you know, I used the headline, A Wild Weekend, and Near Upsets Headline Friday, Saturday. So when I opened this up, it was cool to see that someone else had kind of looked at it as the same thing. You know, sometimes you get stuck in watching your own team or whoever you're rooting for or whatever, when it's cool to see people look out through the league and recognize all the exciting basketball that took place over the eight SVC boys games that were played from Friday to Saturday. I wanted to look at this email first, if you're okay, Bruce, in terms of the upset part. We have mentioned that in the past, and I wanted to see if you agreed with this, Derek, because I know I've talked about this in various times over the last, probably, goodness, 5, 6, 7 years on here. I do think basketball is the one sport that lends itself to the most upsets. And the reason I say that is, you know, in volleyball, you have to win the 3 out of 5. So even if you get off to a good start and you upset a Uniota, an Adena, or a Southeastern in the first set, you still have to start 0-0 and beat them 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. You know, in football, it's such a bigger, faster, stronger throughout the course of the game. All you can do on one play is score 6 points. So if you run a trick play or if you run something, you score the one, you know, 6 point play, a touchdown. In terms of, you have to do that over and over through 4 quarters to pull the upset or to be able to stop them. You know, I think of, obviously, baseball, the pitching matchups can change the teams from Monday night to Wednesday night. Softball, I guess, is maybe a little closer because you do have the one pitcher. But would you agree, Derek, because of those factors and because of basketball being a little bit more of a time sport, so you're not playing to a number, the time can run out. If you catch lightning and bottom the right night and you get some of these factors to go the right way, would you agree that basketball lends itself, or am I missing something in all the sports coverage that you do?
No, absolutely. I mean, look, if we're even going to take it off of a high school level, why do you think March Madness is called March Madness?
There's nothing like it, right?
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the momentum in a basketball game, I'm not saying momentum's not important in other sports, but the momentum in a basketball game in that type of environment, I saw that at Zane Trace last night when Piken and Zane Trace. Piken's up 36-23, and Zane Trace just kind of whittles away at that lead. And then Gabe O'Dell hits two big time. They're down 44-35 in the third quarter. Gabe O'Dell hits 2 3-pointers, and you could just feel in the gym the momentum just switch to the opposite side, the opposite bench. And of course, Zane Trace ends up winning the game. They kind of stole a victory from the Red Streaks. But I see that all the time in basketball. And I cover a lot of sports, and I'm always at a game somewhere. You're right, Shane. I mean, basketball is, you see that more often than any other sport.
Well, Bruce, make sure I come back to maybe the actual games themselves throughout this part of my answer here. I'll probably relate to some of the games.
Sure.
For fans that don't follow it as well, you can check out our scoreboard, the Chris Good sponsored Dr. Good Health Chiropractic Center, SVC Boys Basketball scoreboard there. And you'll see the 6 games that I assume the email is referring to is, you have Paint Valley on Friday night, nearly knock off Uniota, mm-hmm. and then on Saturday night, Westfall nearly knocks off Paint Valley. You have now. Sometimes I think in sports we use the upset a little loose. I don't know mm-hmm. that Piketon beating Zane Trace would have been an upset. I guess maybe early in the year I certainly would have had maybe a Zane Trace 2, Piketon 3, but I don't know that I would call it an upset if a team with Tanner Purdue on it wins a game. I assume they're talking about Southeastern almost beating Piketon on Friday night, and then mm-hmm. Southeastern completely dodging the bullet Saturday night against Huntington, that type of thing. So, Zane Trace Westfall was a good game Friday night. I know that game was close. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things, to look at throughout, but I wanted to look at 5 factors I've come up with, Bruce, and then maybe we can talk a little bit more about why those certain teams maybe failed to get them done. But as I give these 5 factors, maybe Derek can even relate them as well to some of these 6 close calls over the weekend.
Okay.
Number 1, the key upset, and I was working on this during the Ohio State-Michigan State yeah. game today, which was perfect because yeah. that was obviously very fun to watch. The number 1 is the quick start. I think the underdog has to play out in front. I don't know, Derek, how many times you're going to run down the better team when you're 10 mm-hmm. or 12 down. So I think you have to get off to a quick start and play even, preferably play ahead. Number 2, I think you have to have the unexpected production. You're going to have your stars play well, but somewhere along the line, for you to be as good or, in this case, better than that better team on that given night, you're going to have players that usually don't give you production, give you more than they're normally giving you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a role player hitting some threes. Maybe it's a role player coming in and giving you some defensive minutes, that type of thing. Number 3, and again, you can almost walk, if you watch the Ohio State game yep. today, you can almost walk yourself through all these. And I want to do that with some of these games over the weekend, Derek. Number 3, how about a little lady luck? You got to get lucky. Obviously you're not as good as them or they wouldn't be calling it an upset. It helps. Maybe you bank a 3 in. Maybe the other team just simply, when Brandon Kennedy's standing out there on the 3-point line when you broke down defensively, maybe he just happens to miss it. Maybe they accidentally dribble off their foot. Maybe there's, just whatever lucky thing that can happen throughout the game, it allows you to, survive a couple minutes or survive a run. Number 4, this is where I'm going to make some of the officials in the area uncomfortable. How about some willing whistles? I think we're all human. You know, you can't convince me that officials don't show up to gyms as basketball fans and understand this team's record is this. This team's record is this. This team's supposed to win. This team's supposed to lose. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they do that and then, you know, call the game any differently. I'm just saying your human nature is, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you just know. I know that. Even though I'll go to SBC games all the time where I don't have a rooting interest, I still walk in the gym and I know enough about the league to know, oh, this team's supposed to win tonight. You know? And that's why we watch. That's why we look at the upsets. And a lot of times, are officials willing to let it happen? You know, what I mean by that is sometimes you, again, you know deep into the game, oh, man, this team, this is an upset. Is this really going to happen? And you start to subconscious. On the other side of it, I think there's some officials that, you know, they eat it up. You know, they get in the middle of that, and they love some of the attention and some of being in the middle of it all. So I just think that's a part of it. And then my fifth one is you have to finish. You do all of these things, and you put yourself in a position. And sometimes finish means the last 5 seconds. Sometimes it means the last minute. Sometimes it means the last 2 minutes. And as we break down some of these games over the weekend, some great examples of this, Bruce. But quick start, unexpected production, a little lady luck, willing whistles, and finish are the five factors, Derek, I wanted to look at. What out of there jumps out at you when you think back to I'll start just Friday night, if you're okay with that. You were at the Southeastern Piketon game. Do you see some of these categories that jump out at you that maybe played a role in the near upset of Southeastern over Piketon?
Well, obviously finish comes out. I mean, you know, Southeastern is up during the fourth quarter, and Piketon kind of gets a little bit of, like, I think it was like a 4-5-0 run, and that's how they won the game. I mean, they were down 48, I think it was 48-44 Southeastern at one point, if I'm recalling correctly. And then Southeastern ended up losing on an 8-1 run from Piketon. So finish, they didn't finish. Mm-hmm. You know, the officiating, I think, was there, I think, but it was fair. On Friday night, they did have a quick start. You know, they jump out with Reese Wheeler, who's, by the way, Shane, is a really nice player.
Yes, he is.
Piketon kind of, and I wouldn't even maybe even say quick start. I maybe put that at unexpected contributions with the Reese Wheeler. You know, they were kind of balancing scoring. Wheeler scores. Noah Dressback hit a couple big threes. So and then you have your Ruby and Hartman, who are going to score anyway. But really, in that second and third quarter, that's kind of where the tide turned. And it's kind of funny because on Saturday in the fourth quarter, that's where Southeastern kind of made up for its lack of, you know, whatever you want to call it. They scored 32 points to beat Huntington. Well, Friday night, it was the exact opposite. They got outscored by 6 and they lost by 3. So I'd say finish, unexpected contributions, definitely in that game.
You know, Bruce, what happens a lot of times, I know you've watched a ton of high school basketball right there from the front row. Yeah. Over the last, I know you were just saying the other night you were sick and missed your first home game in, 13 years or so. Obviously, you've seen a lot of what we're talking about here in a lot of different types of matchups. But the thing that sometimes I mean by lady luck or willing whistles, sometimes it's not even, you know, it could be something as simple as a guy goes to the rim and two guys hit him. You know, who's the foul on?
Right.
Is it on your best player? Is it on the role player that's just playing 3 minutes tonight? You know what I'm saying? It's those little things. And obviously the better teams, depending on how much better the one team is than the other, depends on how much of these five things you need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If, you know, that's why I say Zane Trace Piketon, you know, Piketon doesn't need a bunch of these things to happen to beat St. Trace because they're pretty good. You know what I'm saying? But like if certain teams are going to play with certain teams, they need a bunch of this stuff to happen just to have a chance. And then it comes down to them finishing. You know, the other thing is with teams in their depth, Derek, if Hill of Uniota gets in foul trouble, that hurts them. Okay, he's obviously a top five talent in our league. So Coach Hoop's going to his bench, just like any team. He's not putting in an equal player, but at the same time, he's taking 6-5 out, and he has the ability to put 6-5 back in.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
you know, if Paint Valley takes 6-11 out, they're putting 5-8 in. You know, it's same way with a lot of teams. I mean, you know, you start taking out a Tanner Purdue, Coach Lake doesn't have another Tanner Purdue to put in, but he has four or five guys that can handle the basketball and play for 3 minutes and take care of it, where other teams may not have that luxury. So I think it's just fascinating. In the Huntington Southeastern game, the Elijah McCloskey foul trouble was the difference. I mean, Southeastern cranked it up. McCloskey fouls out. I think it was 50-44. He fouls out on an and one, 50-47. And I think I calculated 19-6 run to end the game as he leaves. So it is. It's fast. Westfall, 13 threes the other night. Coach Shoemaker telling me, and I've seen Westfall multiple times now, Derek. They're capable. Wyman can shoot it. Nunnemaker can shoot it. They have some role players starting to fall into place. So, just a fascinating weekend of basketball. And to think we're not just now getting to the halfway point, it should be a lot of fun. So that was a fun email. It got me thinking about upsets and how sometimes we do. We stretch that a little bit more. It seems like in college basketball, everybody storms the court now, no matter what. Yeah. But it is neat to watch because never fails, Derek. Every Friday night, it seems like the tweets start to come out or the updates start to come to me and you. Hey, so and so's up 17-14 at the end of one. Hey, so and so's up 8 at halftime. So and so's up, you know. So it is. It is fun to watch, Bruce. But something to maybe keep an eye on is other potential upsets take place in the weeks to come.
Shane, don't you think that as I look at your list here, I actually wrote them down here in front of me. And as I look at your list, there was something said on the broadcast of the Ohio State-Michigan State game today that, you know, Ohio State had to figure out how they were going to respond to a number one team coming to town. And one of the things that they hit on was, you know, they talked about inbound plays. They talked about, in essence, a quick start. They needed a quick start. And they're right at the beginning, Michigan State came out, and they actually had the quick start. I think they put 5 up before Ohio State scored any. But then Ohio State came roaring back, and you know they got on a run, and Michigan couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. But I think, you know, as a coach, let me ask you this. You're the underdog. You're coaching the underdog, and some team comes in to play. Are there any of those keys that you can use or try to motivate your team to use, or are they just serendipitous, all of them?
Well, I think there's two things you just mentioned that really jumped out at me, Bruce. Number one, I think you have to pay attention to certain details that can help you narrow the gap. You know, if I'm playing a team that's already 15, 20 points better than me, if I can take away 4 to 6 points because of how well I scouted their out of bounds play, or if I could take away another 3 to 6 points for their best shooter because I take away a couple of his looks because I've really studied their quick hitters and I've had my team prepared to stop those things. Those are things that I can control. I can't always control if Logan Swackhammer just takes the ball out top, or if just decides he's going to athletically make a play and go by me, I can't always control that. But I can control knowing what screen Brandon Kennedy's coming off of to get that shot. You see what I'm saying? Like, and if you can do those things, that can help you maybe stop. The second thing is, I think you look for opportunities when you take the Ohio State game, for example, today. The quick start sometimes just means hang around. Don't get knocked out. Derek, think of the Uniota-Piketon game. Uniota comes out in the first quarter and just takes control of the environment. What was it, 25-10 or something like that?
On Brandon Kennedy's,
Game over. I mean, it just is. So a lot of times, Bruce, quick start just means, you know, Ohio State was actually down, I believe, 11-5 in that game. But then they immediately came on an 8-0 run, I think, and went 12-11. So, and then as you look, then bench guys start to produce.
Right.
Williams hits a three. You get some of that lady luck where Dockage is banking shots in from who knows where at the end of the half. And You know, and it just sends the crowd into a frenzy, and it starts to go. So what happens now is you start to play at a level that you're just not used to playing. Mm-hmm. Luckily for Ohio State, they were able to ride that to the point where they were able to open up such a cushion that they didn't have to necessarily finish, because Michigan State was never able to really go. But I think the quick start doesn't always mean playing way out in front for the underdog. It means just don't get knocked out
early.
You know, what is it? Mike Tyson always said everybody had a game plan until they got hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, you're just trying to settle into the game and play. But I do think at some point in the second quarter or so, Derek, you have to play out in the front. I think it's very difficult to get behind the really good teams into the third quarter and play from behind and end up winning. I'm not saying you can't hang around, but there's a big difference in competing for three quarters and actually winning the game.
You did a really good job, I think, of encapsulating the biggest factors of pulling an upset. Any thoughts here about this, the last question in the email, and that was, any reason you think so many teams failed to finish on Friday and Saturday night? I guess they're citing failing to finish, which is one of yours, have to finish. That was a factor. Why that one? Why did that one come around? Or is it a composite of all the other factors?
Well, before I give too much of an answer, Derek, let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm simplifying it too much if I just say experience and depth, something you and I broke the top half to bottom half down with, say, a month ago?
No, because when you give me your five, kind of characteristics of an upset, I wrote down your five and I put why they happen as well. And I have experience and depth. So, I mean, we're on the same page there.
Well, because the reason I say that, Bruce, is, you know, when you look at Uniota's depth compared to Paint Valley as that mm-hmm. game gets into the third and fourth quarter, when you look at Southeastern's depth and with Huntington, Huntington has one kid with varsity experience coming into this year. Yeah. Well, he fouled out of a game that they weren't supposed to win, and all of a sudden now the rest of his kids are looking up there thinking, hey, now what?
Yeah.
And, right. You know, you've got 6'5", 6'4", coming and trapping you on the inbound. That's something that, you know, JV basketball didn't prepare you for last year. Mm-hmm. So I think that Westfall making those threes, well, what happens at some point is, can you execute and score? Like, you know, it seemed like late in that game they had so much trouble scoring the basketball. Again, not a lot of kids on varsity a year ago. Zane Trace, I thought, showed a lot of growth. Again, I go back to, I don't know how much of an upset that was, or would have been, I should say. But, you know, Zane Trace showed a lot of growth. Cam Evans is becoming a star right in front of our eyes. I mean, this kid's really special. And his second half sounds like he really took over the game. And when you look at their efficiency from the floor, Derek, it's phenomenal. And I got to feel like point guard play has a lot to do with that. And then the last one I had in my notes was where you were at the other night. I guess you saw it a little bit Friday and Saturday. You know, Tanner Perdue, the ability to just go get one. You know, Dylan Swingle and Tanner Perdue, they give you, like on the girls' side, you have Ella Skeens, you have Lexi Woods, the ability to just go get one. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't have to run a play. You don't have, they can simply take the ball and sometimes just make a special play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes Ella Skeens, when it's going bad, she can just, you know, full court press and just take the ball and lay it in. You know, just take the ball from someone and lay it in. So those are the types of things that I think jumped out at me. Other teams just don't have that depth of talent, and they don't have the experience. They haven't been in those situations as much.
All righty. Well, we appreciate the email very much. A good email, and we had some good discussion about that. And we'll give you the contact information here a little bit later in the podcast, so you can contribute as well out there. Let's move along to the fast break, Shane.
Yeah, another shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Tell them Shane, Derek, and Bruce from SVC Sports Talk sent you, and I know they'll work real hard. Guys, the theme this week is the season going from the first half to the second half. So everything we're answering here, we're thinking about how the season is getting ready to turn to the downhill stretch here. So again, Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Bruce, let's go ahead with this week's fast break.
As we reach the halfway point, what do you want to make sure you pay attention to during the second half of the season?
Well, Shane, for me, you know, it's the continued development of the youth in our league. I look at a team like Adina's Boys. I really think that team can be maybe dangerous at the end of the season when it comes to tournament time. I'm not saying they're going to win 10 games. I'm not even going to say they're going to win 8 or 9. I'm saying when they get into a tournament run and when they develop and continue to put experience on the court, sometimes there's 5 freshmen on the court for Adina. In a tournament run, we just talked about upsets. And we saw what Southeastern did last year as they grew before Isaac and like Elaine Ruby as he was a freshman. I think an upset could happen there with Adina. That's not the only team. I mean, you know, you look at Zane Trace's boys that continue to, I mean, we got to remember a lot of those kids are sophomores, you know, on the court when they maybe playing like juniors or seniors right now. So that goes with every team, even on the boys and girls side, you know, a lot of youth on a lot of teams, which creates a bright future for our league, but it also creates some excitement for the end of the season.
Yeah, it really does. I tell you where I went with it, Derek, is really looking to appreciate the greatness that we're getting to watch with some of the history being made. We mentioned the streaks earlier, watching Uniota boys, Southeastern girls do some of those things, but individually as well. I got thinking back here, back in 2016, Pierce Mowry and Jonathan Thomas, they both graduated 4th and 5th respectively in the history of our conference. And as I think back to that, you know, I watched them play, gosh, I bet I watched them each play 20, 25 times over a 4-year period, but I don't know that I truly appreciated what I was watching while I was watching it. And so I don't want to allow myself to take for granted what Dylan Swingle's doing, what Tanner Perdue's doing, what Ella Skeens is doing, what Lexi Woods, who should, if not Tuesday night, but no later than Thursday, become the all-time leading scorer in Paint Valley history. Mm-hmm. I think that's very... very special, the history of our league, when you think of some of these schools playing basketball 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and you're talking about kids becoming their all-time leading scorer, that's a big deal. I really want to pay attention to that.
For boys and girls, what will ultimately decide the league races?
For me, Shane, when you look at the league races on both the boys and girls side, I understand Piketon's right there with the boys, but still, to me, after Zane Trace beats Piketon, I'm not saying Piketon can't beat Zane Trace or Uniota on the turn, but if you're looking at this on just a two-horse race, you look at Uniota, Zane Trace on the boys, and Southeastern Uniota on the girls. For both of those, you know, races, to me, it's health and consistency. We all know how good those teams can be, but they have to be consistent. Uniota wasn't at their usual selves this past Friday in the first half, or maybe even in it through 3 quarters, and then they kind of woke up and said, hey, we got to play like we know how. These teams have to play like they know how for 4 quarters every single night, and that's what I mean by consistency. And then health, obviously that speaks for itself. You know, Uniota can't afford to lose a Logan Swackhammer to injury. Southeastern can't afford to lose Ella Skeens to injury. So if they're healthy, they stay away from the injury bug, and they're consistent, I think that's what decides the league races. Who does those two things better?
Well, I think Bruce, first of all, Derek makes a good point. Assuming we don't have craziness in terms of an injury or something very unfortunate, really the simple answer is it comes down to the head-to-head matchups. If you look at the scoreboard throughout the first half of the year, it's just going to be very difficult for one of the girls' teams to knock off Southeastern or to knock off Uniota. We certainly have seen stretches where Paint Valley can compete in stretches with them on the girls' side. You know, maybe a Huntington team, but you know, on the boys' side, there's a little bit more depth. But you still have feel like that Uniota-Zane Trace game, it becomes very, very important. So I think the answer here is as simple as the head-to-head matchups will decide. You know, Tuesday night, the winner of that game is going to have to be, we just talked about upsets, they would have to really be knocked off in a big-time upset not to reach the final game of the year playing for the outright title. Same way with Uniota. If Uniota beats Zane Trace this time, they start to open up a lead that just too many things would have to happen for teams to get back in it. So I think the head-to-head matchups coming Tuesday and Saturday are what you need to watch.
What changes, if anything, for coaches in the second half of the season compared to the first half?
I don't think you need to make drastic change, especially if you're having success. However, you have seen each team once now, and that team has already a game plan for you once. They've already played you, and they've got that game film too. What'd you do well against them? They're going to attack that, and they're going to attack what you didn't do well. So you got to remember that if you're holding, if a coach is holding on to something on the bench, and you know, I'm not going to show him everything. I've heard that a lot, Shane. Oh, we didn't show him everything tonight. Well, at this point in the season, you show him your entire hand, because each win matters more than it did even in the first go around in the league. You know, going forward now, especially in going into tournament play, you want to get those wins, get momentum going into. I know I've already mentioned Southeastern's tournament run last year, but that team clicked at the right time. So you don't want to do anything that kind of takes away momentum from where you are as a team. You don't want to do anything to hurt your players' confidence. I mean, as long as you're keeping kind of even keeled and you're sticking to the basics, I think you're fine.
Well, everyone would like to make a special tournament run. I mean, a special tournament run can wipe out bad regular seasons. We see examples of it all the time. We saw one in our league last year with Southeastern. But at the same time, we just talked about upsets, maybe getting upset in your bracket, and then maybe you play well. You know, just a couple wins at the right time in the tournament can solve a lot. But I think for me on this question, guys, it really depends on where your program's at. Do you have young kids? Do you have old kids? What's your record? Are you rebuilding? Are you in the title chase? Are you trying for a winning season? Because I think you have to be careful. If you are in a rebuilding, you have to make sure you trust the process, as we like to say, in terms of, you know, if you are at two or three wins, is there really going to be a big difference in the rebuilding if you win three games instead of four or five? You know, compared to what it is you're working on to establish culture-wise, you know, going into next offseason and what you're trying to look like, say, a year from now. So I do think it depends. A team that's in a title chase compared to a team fighting to be 500, comparing to a team all the way down at the bottom of the standings, you know, it's really oranges and apples when you compare what the coaches are going through in terms of what they're trying to accomplish.
Does the first half of the season give you an optimistic feeling for the SVC in this year's postseason?
You know, on the boys' side, yes. On the girls' side, no. And here's why I say it. On the boys' side, I think that Paint Valley Pike and Zane Trace and Unyoda all can go on you know, incredible tournament runs if they continue to do what they're doing, if they hit their right stride at the right time. And it depends on, obviously, the tournament draw. And then, of course, we looked at last year again with the tournament run that we had in our league last year. You know, I think we could have that again potentially. There's always that potential for a Cinderella. We just talked about upsets, right? On the girls' side, here's why I said it does not give me an optimistic feeling, because when you look at the best two teams in our league, Unyoda and Southeastern, Unyoda's in that Division II sectional with a Miami Trace, with a Washington Courthouse. You know, that, and there's others I'm missing, I just can't think of right now. In that Division II sectional, that is a tough sectional. Well, in Division III sectional, where Southeastern is, it's probably even tougher. You look at the Eastern Brown, Shane, is it Fairland?
You get down to Waverly there, you run into a lot of those really good programs, sure.
An Ironton, I mean, you know, you look at a lot of those teams, and I mean, they're the elite level. I mean, you know, so even though Unyoda and Southeastern are very, very good basketball teams, I think it's a lot easier for them to get knocked off in the postseason than, you know, if you're looking at like a Unyoda versus McLean on the boys' side in that sectional district kind of tournament draw. The one thing I will say, Shane, is in that Division II, Fairland, who beat Piketon last year, has moved up to Division II this year. So I think Division III, which is where we saw Southeastern go on that tournament run, you're going to have Paint Valley, you're going to have Piketon in that, and I think both of those teams can be really dangerous come tournament time. Zane Trace will be in Division II, so they're going to have to deal with the Unyoda, they're going to have to deal with the Fairland, and you know, a Fairfield Union, all those teams as well. So on the boys' side, I would say yes, I'm looking forward to. On the girls' side, maybe it's an uneasy feeling instead of an optimistic.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said. I think the Division II on both sides has a lot of depth to it and a lot of talent. It's going to be tricky. I think in D3, depending on your bracket, there are some openings to the convo, some openings to maybe win a game at the convo. But we've had some transferring and some different things around Southeast Ohio, so that certainly is going to impact the district tournament a little bit. We'll talk about that more as we get closer to tournament. I really like to see Paint Valley girls have an opportunity in D4 to break through, and I think it would have been a no-brainer. But you know what's happened with their non-league schedule is brutal. I mean, Benton County, North Adams, Hillsboro, it's just, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Alexander, it's just, it's so, they're in a position now where I just hope they get treated properly in the draw, because I think that's a team that can get over the hump and, and get to a district there. So, you know, optimistic maybe, Bruce, in the sectional, but I think our league at the district level has a long way to go.
And there you have our fast break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. And although right now you'd be hard-pressed to go out there and hit the ball around, it's coming, as Shane said. We're only, six, 7 weeks before the baseball gets going, and then golf soon thereafter. All right, that is our fast break. As I said, Shane, I have here on our agenda that you have a major upcoming story about girls basketball, volleyball, and why the numbers are hurting.
We talked about this on our show right before break, guys. You'll remember. It's a really growing topic, and it's one that I've really been researching. Gosh, I've been researching it on and off for a long time, but I've really picked up my research over the last month, and I've been starting to put together some kids that maybe I want to talk to. I've had some parents contact me and some different things. I'm going to try to set some things up. I also have already been getting some emails and some different things. I had one guy send me some pictures of some physical basketball pictures. I think they came – I don't know if they came from the Gazette or not, Derek, just showing me a photo gallery of all the different physicality that's in the game today and how, gosh, it's just easier to – it's just easier sometimes to go play volleyball where you can free up and have some skill and do some different things. And it's not so physical. It's not so, just physically demanding. So I think that's a part of it. I know that it's even gotten to the point where I've had three different schools have had, eighth grade kids, girls not play basketball either because of club volleyball, a fear of getting hurt, or maybe a combination of both. And it's really, there's some depth to that eighth grade girls basketball league too. But again, you just wonder how much of them will survive into their high school years. So I think it's a fascinating topic. I'm going to continue to put together. If any parent, any coach, any of our athletes out there have comments or things they would like to share, make sure you contact me and let me know. Like I said, I've been collecting all the contacts of people that have talked to me that are interested. And it's not one I want to hurry, Bruce, so there's no timeline on it. I just, when I feel like I have the proper research to where I can really lay out a fair discussion, because I certainly don't want to let my bias come into play. Or I have some bias in this that I'm not going to share right now, because I don't want to influence anything. Okay. But as soon as I can get a fair, balanced discussion point ready to go, I'd love to get your opinion on it. I'd love to get Derek's opinion on it, and then through our discussion, get the feedback from the fans as well. So, you know, if Bruce, if you want to give that contact information there,
that's what
that'd be great.
All right. Speaking of contact information, providing information regarding that story or other things that you've got, questions and so forth, you can do so by emailing Shane at admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can also contact him on Facebook, where he maintains two profiles, one for Shane Combs, and the other one I think is Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone. You can message him there. And, of course, you can reach him on Twitter, and his handle there is at svcsportszone.com. Derek is accessible by email, and I alluded to this earlier. His email is now drwebb@chillicothe.com.
The doctor.
Yeah, the doctor. And, you know,
not sure of what.
Yeah, that's right. You just have they raised, you know, gave you an honorary degree when you came back to drwebb@chillicothegazette.com. And then you can be one of 3,705 followers right now.
But who's counting, right?
Yeah, who's counting? And he's got a blue check mark, which I think, you know, makes him very important.
I don't even know what that means.
That's verified. He's verified, man. We know who he is. Twitter knows who he is, and everybody can... You know, everything that he says is the gospel, man. That's what it is.
Well,
his handle.
He spoiled me rotten, because a lot of times I don't even have to do anything other than like just retweet what he puts out.
Yeah, he's a source, man. His handle there is at DW1509. And I was going to tell you, Derek, I noticed a news story the other day that you had written. I think it was on the brothers from Chillicothe.
Uh-huh.
And at the bottom of that, it gave your email address, but it was the old email address. It was
I'll have to let them change that. Yeah.
Yes. You've got to get that straight, because who knows where those are going. Those may be going.
Well, I was trying to dodge angry fans. I mean, you know, but I've been made. So.
They may be going to some David Webb someplace, right. At someplace else. So that's how you can contact our SVC guys that know what they're talking about, or just pretend like they do. We don't really know. Anyway, we're headed to the postgame comments. That's going to be brought to us by C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, they are located at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. And all that stuff that you did not get but want, that you did not get for Christmas, your local school apparel for SVC, your, you know, you can probably even get them to put something together for SVC Sports Zone or something like that if you want to represent all of your people out there in SVC land. You can get that there at the C&K Athletic Equipment. They also have the fitness gear. Everybody's going to start getting fit with their New Year's resolutions. They can help you out there. And sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. They're bringing to you our post-game comments, which, of course, we're going to start off talking about the great Tuesday night schedule for SVC girls, history on the line for Southeastern chain.
Well, yeah, guys, if you look, and Derek, I know you've done this, but for our SVC fans to pay attention, and again, I hate it that a lot of you might be listening to this after Tuesday night, but if that's the case, look back to the Tuesday night and see how it played out, because entering Tuesday night, you have all of your preview matchups. If you're not familiar with that, the preview matchups come with the team that you played last in the round. Okay, so all of our preview matchups are taking place in the seventh league night. And they just so happen to all be for first, third, fifth, and seventh place. The matchups just seem to be perfect in terms of how our league lines up. And so we've talked about upsets all night. I don't know that any of these games would be upsets. I mean, you have the Southeastern Uniota for first place. Obviously, Southeastern's history is on the line, because if they win this one, they're probably going to make history later in the second half of the year. Huntington Paint Valley. Some people maybe in the preseason slightly had Paint Valley ahead of them, but now you look, Huntington 8-2, Paint Valley 5-7 overall. You might argue that has a lot to do with non-league schedule. Mm-hmm. Both are fair points. But again, very, very tight match. Piketon Westfall, good matchup there. And then Zane Trace Adina, who both men are making giant improvements when you look at the way they played in their league contest over the this past week, Derek. So it's a night that I really wish, I think I said this on a show a while back, I really wish this night could be separated a little bit more to where I could watch all of these matchups, because I think all four of them are going to provide us some pretty good parity in terms of getting into the fourth quarter with some games in the balance.
All right, so that's Tuesday night, and then Saturday night we go to Zane Trace at Uniota as a big billboard game that night.
What's your take, Derek, on the boys' upcoming week with a game like that on Saturday? Everything builds up to a Friday. Obviously, we just found out, you know, you don't want to overlook anything on Friday. What's your take as you look ahead to the boys' weekend?
Well, I mean, I tell you what, those are the kind of games that for my job that I live for. I mean, I'm already excited for. I wish it was next Saturday. And here's the thing, we've got that big matchup Tuesday as well, right? So I just wish like I could wake up tomorrow and it's Tuesday, then the next day Saturday. That'd be awesome, right? But no, I mean, you know, my take on that is, look, I mean, we saw what happened the first time between these two teams, 47-46. And really, let's be honest, I think Zane Trace had that game pretty much won. And I think Uniota's kind of depth and experience kind of came through as it has, you know, as it did this past Friday against Paint Valley. So I think, honestly, I think it's a toss up. I don't think there's a clear winner. I don't think you can, if I had to bet my house, I wouldn't, you know, bet on either team. I mean, it's really a 50-50 matchup. Cam Evans, as you said, is a budding superstar. I'm really looking forward to that matchup with I guess the matchup in a matchup with him going up against Logan Swackhammer. You know, you even put Isaac Bean down low against Peyton Hill. Just all the matchups inside the actual game or what I'm excited to watch. And hey, you got two great coaches on the sidelines as well, and Gary Kelly and Matt Hoops going after each other. So one of my favorite things about that matchup is that Matt Hoops used to play against Gary Kelly when he played for Uniota. Of course, Zane Trace was good back in the day, so was Uniota. So these two have been going at it forever, maybe in a different type of sense, as Hoops as a player and Kelly as a coach. But as I said earlier, I think I said this on the preview show, I really would, Shane, I'd watch Matt Hoops and Gary Kelly go at it at Tiddlywinks. So.
Well, I can't argue with that. I tell you, the Beam Davidson with Fisher and Hill, that is a fascinating matchup. You have the Swack Hammer point guard play that has matured and really focused. I mean, if you pay attention to his assist turnover ratio over the last month, it's been off the charts. But then on the other side, you have such a blossoming star at the point, Cam Evans. It is. So, you know, Brandon Kennedy seems to hit a lot of shots. Really look for people outside of those seven or eight all-league stars that we talked about to be a factor. Remember in the Painted Valley game the other night, as well as that Zane Trace game earlier in the year, Derek, it was Chance Smith making mm-hmm. some plays defensively or making big shots. So really
13 points in that game, by the way.
Yes. And he's a kid that, again, he's come up through the program. He makes winning plays. He's described to me as a competitive kid. And, you know, so just look for kids like that on both sides that can be a big factor. So it's going to be an exciting week. It's good to be back. I think, Bruce, our schedule should pretty much have us normal from here on out, shouldn't it?
We're not normal.
Maybe
yes,
a little break in between.
Yeah. We'll record normally this.
we may have a quick break in between winter and spring, but really I think we have enough shows to pretty much carry ourselves all the way out to the end of our seventh season here on SBC Sports Talk. So guys, it's good to be back. I appreciate it. Looking forward to a great week of basketball, highlighted by Tuesday night start there on the girls' side. So best of luck to all the teams and athletes, and look forward to doing it again next week. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.